Praise the Lord, church. Before we begin, get into the word, could we just lift our hands up and begin to center our minds and our hearts on the Lord Jesus Christ? Could we make intentional changes in our lives and in our mind that we want to do the will of our Father and that we desire nothing else in this world, but just everything that He has for us, everything that He has planned for us. Could we change the directions of our hearts? God, I change my heart to You, Jesus. I change my mind to You, Jesus. I cast all worry. I cast everything, oh God, that is not from You, Jesus. And I look to You. I look to You.
Praise God. Brother Johnstone had asked me to come with a thought or what's been on my mind. And this past week, I've been listening to the ministry that we were instructed to listen to by Brother or Bishop Chester Wright. And it's really struck something within my spirit, within my being, within my mind, everything, that you have to look in the mirror and you really have to ask yourself, am I a son of God? Do I know the man Jesus? Do I know God? And is He speaking to me daily? And am I listening to His call? Am I listening to His voice? And am I doing what He wants me to do each and every day? And it almost brought a weight on me. I don't know if anyone else felt that, but you're just like, okay, I'm going through my day to day, but am I listening? Am I going through my day to day, or am I acting upon my own, or am I acting upon what He wants me to do? And as I was listening and praying and just meditating on the word, I found pride in myself. And I don't know if it brought pride out of you as well, but I begin to think of what a son of God is and what a son of God is supposed to do, and looked back into the scriptures and looked back on the teaching that I received at Bible college, and I begin to think of a king. And a king had his ring, and this ring was his name. And he would begin to do His will in that name. And we know that we are bearers of His name. And we get to do His will with this ring, per se. And as I begin to think about the ministry God has allowed me to partake in, and the faith that I have that God can do the miraculous and the impossible, and all things are possible in Christ, I was thinking, am I taking that ring that He has given to me, His name, and have I been using it for my own? And it really just, this thought just kept coming to me, and it was like, I was not trying to put myself in those shoes, but I was just looking at it almost like if I was watching a movie or reading a story. And just think about it. There's a prince, and he has his father's name, and he goes around the town doing everything in his father's name, but it's not his father's will. What is that? And I begin to, like, just meditate on, like, okay, now put myself in those shoes. Have I done that? Have I gone around town proclaiming, you know, I'm a son of God. I've got the name of Jesus. I've been bought. I've been purchased. I've been washed in His name, in His blood. Anything could happen. I can do all things. But that's not really how it is. You know, God has to give the command. The king has to give the command, and our job is to execute it. And if we don't hear what the Lord is saying, but we're still executing, that's pride. That's something that is not of God. And then we wonder, oh, I prayed for this person and they weren't healed. Well, maybe God didn't tell you, you know? And then that doubt begins to slip in your mind, and all these thoughts, anxiety, whatever it may be, begins to enter into your home, into your mind, into your heart. because you just acted out of not the will of God. And it just made me really sit down and look in the mirror and ask myself, you know, every step that I take, every word that comes out of my mouth, every command, every asking, every prayer request, every day of fasting, everything that I'm doing, is it because God told me to do it, or is it because this is just life? And I just hope that I don't choose this is just life, and this is how I act, and this is how I operate, if a choice of better word. And so that's one thing that has been brewing in my spirit. And a few weeks ago, I forgot who had talked about it, but they talked about how the Lord was, or Jesus came to the synagogue, and he was rejected by his own people because the people didn't know who he was. They couldn't see past his flesh. They couldn't see past the carpenter boy, the errand boy, the boy that they knew. And it gave me that thought. It brought me back weeks ago, and I was like, do I know God, or do I know the carpenter boy? Do I know the Son of the living God, the one that can create, the one that can change, the one that can transform, or do I just see a mere man? And it really got me thinking, and it brought me to the Old Testament, actually. And if we can turn into our Bibles to, I believe, 2 Corinthians, 2 Chronicles. Verses 33, verse 10. This is a story about Manasseh, king of Israel. And verse 10 says, "The Lord spoke to Manasseh and to his people, but they paid no attention. Therefore the Lord brought upon them the commanders of the army of the king of Assyria, who captured Manasseh with hooks and bound him with chains of bronze and brought him to Babylon." So we have this situation where the Lord is speaking. His people, the king, are not listening. And there are things that then God has to do to get our attention. He has to put a mountain in front of us. He has to put something. But we know we can speak to the mountain, but he's putting it there for a reason, that we can overcome and, event, long story short, come to repentance. And so if we skip down, we can read of his repentance. And it says, "And when he was in distress, he entreated the favor of the Lord, his God, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. He prayed to him, and God was moved by his entreaty and heard his plea and brought him again to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. Afterward, he built an outer wall for the city of David in the valley, and for the entrance into the fish gate, and carried it around Ophiel, and raised it to a very great height. He also put commanders of the army in all the fortified cities in Judah. And he took away the foreign gods and the idols from the house of the Lord, and the altars that he had built on the mountain of the house of the Lord and in Jerusalem. And he threw them outside of the city. He also restored the altar of the Lord and offered on it sacrifices of peace offerings and of thanksgiving, and he commanded Judah to serve the Lord, the God of Israel." And so as I was thinking, meditating, pondering the thoughts that Bishop gave and the words of the Lord that flowed through him. The Lord brought me here. And there's a step-by-step process that we can see in this story of repentance, of building of a wall mightily high, putting gatekeepers, putting an army at the wall, restoring the altars, and then giving up sacrifices. And so through this week, I believe I've been taking those steps of, you know, looking in the mirror. God, you spoke to me, but maybe I didn't listen. What do I have to do first? I got to build up my walls. I got to begin to put in work and build up a wall to guard the altar. To guard the altar. Because if I don't do that, the enemy is going to come and I'm not going to sacrifice to the Lord. And what's going to happen eventually is you sacrifice for something else. You sacrifice for your own gain. You sacrifice for your own lust. You sacrifice for your pleasures, whatever it may be. You might be even sacrificing to your own body. You put yourself up as an idol. And I pray that through this coming week, you continue to listen to those messages, those teachings, and you begin to think, do I need to build up a wall? Well, I've got a wall, so I'm good there. Is there an army guarding that wall? And if there's an army guarding that wall, do I need to go back to these altars? And do I need to send up a peace offering? Do I need to send up some kind of thanksgiving unto the Lord and start anew, start afresh, and begin to hear his call, beginning to hear his word, and executing how he wants us to execute in this time? Thank you.
Thank you, Brandon. You touched on something for a moment that took me back to a moment in my life a few years ago. And you touched on a controversial subject. You made the statement that, what if I pray for somebody and God doesn't heal them, or God hadn't, I think what you said was God hadn't asked me to pray for them. Well, we should just pray for everybody, right? I mean, that's who we are. We're the people of God. We're his hands and feet in the earth. I don't know. We don't get the whole story of everything Jesus did in his 3.5 years of ministry on the earth. But there were moments of time when you read in the Gospels about people who he just about passed by. And they begin to call out to him. Think about the man at the pool. He said, I've been here. I've been sitting here. I've been laying here for years. And, that, you know, once a year, the angel comes by and stirs the water. But I've never had anybody to put me in. All of these situations and circumstances that existed for years, and there were people for years that came through there in different situations, but the Bible records a few specific ones. It says others happened, but it records a few specific ones for us where he intentionally ministered to somebody. Everybody say intentionally. Can I pick on you for a minute, Brother Ben? Is that okay? You'll still love me afterwards. A few years ago at a youth convention in Tacoma, I was in the altar service. If you've ever been to a convention or a large meeting in an altar service, there's generally hundreds of people in the altar. And, you know, who do you pray for? And I was standing up on the edge of the platform, and I was just kind of praying. I was waiting on the Lord, and I was praying over this group of people. And Brother Ben was kicking down doors, and just, I mean, he was going to town. The Holy Ghost is using him. And all of a sudden, he runs up on the platform, he puts his arm around me, and he goes, is there something wrong with me? And I said, I don't know. What's going on? He said, I'm down here like a madman just praying for everybody, and you're standing up here just looking at people. Am I doing something wrong? I said, I don't think so. Let's talk later. And we talked about it later on, and I explained to him. I said, in that type of meeting, I can't possibly pray for every single person. And so I will wait on the Lord. Even in gatherings like this, I don't necessarily pray for every single person in the room. I may not pray for every single person that's at the altar that day. Does that mean I don't care about you or I don't love you? No, I'm waiting on the Lord. If he sends me to, if I lay hands on you, it's because I feel directly led by the Holy Ghost to come lay hands on you. Does that mean you're something special? No. I'm just waiting. Do I make mistakes sometimes? Yes. Is it maybe sometimes me? Or do I sometimes ignore the voice of God and not come pray for you when I'm supposed to? Probably. I'm human. You're human. But there's something to what Brother Brandon was just talking about, that being in that place of hearing the voice of God and being sure, having a confidence in this is his voice. And you may not even have stepped out for prayer that day. You may not even have been one at the altar. You may have stayed in your chair because you said, you know, I don't feel drawn to the altar today. But the Holy Ghost says to me, you need to go lay hands on Mark Reuter and pray for him. About what, Lord? Did I ask you to ask me about what to pray for? Go lay hands on Mark Reuter and pray for him. He may not need prayer right then, but the Holy Ghost knows. I love Romans. It's one of Romans chapter 8. It's one of my favorite verses. For you know not what to pray for as ye ought. But he that knoweth, what's the scripture say? He that knoweth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Who says that I'm praying for him right now? Who says that I'm praying for anything that's going on in his life right now? Maybe everything's great. He just got $1 million and everything's good. And he's like, I have not a problem in the world. And God, and he doesn't know, but God knows that on Thursday he's going to take $1 million away. And so God's praying strength. He's through me. I'm talking about you. Through me, he's using me to pray strength into this vessel. And he just says, okay, I'm just here to receive. If God sent somebody to pray for me, I'm going to lift my hands and I'm going to receive. I don't even know what they're praying about, and I don't have to know what they pray about. I'm just going to let my spirit agree together with theirs. I receive it in Jesus' name. Whatever it is, Father, that you send them to pray for me. On the contrary, I know that there are some in the room who you have dealt with much affliction in your body. You've dealt with much affliction in your home and your personal lives and turmoil and distress and different things that you've gone through. And at times, I feel it in the room. You just wish somebody would come put their hands on my head and relieve me from all of this trouble. I've been there. God, you are God alone. I acknowledge you as Savior and Lord over all. You know everything. Can't you just reach down right now and whisper in Brother Lindsay's ear that he needs to come lay hands on me? Or Brother Ben's ear, or somebody, even the cat, the neighborhood cat that hangs out outside. Have it meow my name or something. And nothing. Nothing. So does he not care about me? Absolutely not. But oh, when the moment comes. I've witnessed it before. I may be sitting in the front row over there. I might even be sitting in the chair over there. And somebody takes the mic who doesn't know anything about your life or your situations, your problems. Oh, you may have mentioned it to me once or twice. Hey, I'm really battling this. I'm really going through this. And somebody like Brother Jared takes the mic and begins to open in service. He says, you know, the Lord put a scripture on my heart this morning. He said this and this and this. And I'm going, hello. He cares. He cares. He knows. He's concerned. He hasn't forgot. So there's an importance. This is why we talk about this, and sometimes I think we think this is just folklore or, you know, cool things to say or whatever. We truly wait upon him together. We're truly vessels waiting on him together. And if he speaks to Brother Chamberlain that I need you to go lay hands on Brother Brandon, he's got to be in a place of sensitivity, a place of waiting, a place of readiness. Yes, Lord, I'll go right now. Or we come in together, Father, what do you want me to do today? What's my role in this meeting? What's my role in this prayer time? What is it that I'm supposed to be doing? If I get so internally focused, believe me, I got enough stuff going on in my life right now. I could focus on me 100% of the time if I wanted. And you could too. I got enough going on in my immediate family, enough going on in my extended family, enough going on my job, enough going on in my finances, enough going on in just me personally that I could spend a lot of time talking to the Lord about it. I could get down here and I could say, oh God, you know all my problems. You know all my failures. You know all the situations. You know all the circumstances. And I can get caught up in that. And God says, yes, 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 yes. Thank you for reminding me. I forgot. I'll get right on that. You know, that I put that list on the bottom of the pile accidentally, but I'll get it back up to the top, Nick. Do we believe the word of God when he says, in the book of Matthew, and I think in the book of John, or Luke in the book of John also, take no thought what you shall eat, what you shall drink, wherewithal you shall be clothed. For all of these things do the heathen seek. But you, children of God, you seek first my kingdom. You seek first my righteousness. You seek to be in right standing with me, and you seek to be involved in my kingdom and my work, and I'll take care of all the rest of that stuff. And when I'm seeking those other things first, it begins to open my spiritual ears and it begins to open my heart to hear his voice. And it's just an impression. If you're sitting here, if you sit through service after service, you're waiting on God to say, Dale Cool, please lay hands on. No. Now maybe he'll work that way for you once or twice. But at some point along the way, he's going to put you in a place of trust and a place of faith. And you could be praying and waiting on the Lord, and maybe we're praying about something, and we're just engaged, and we're locked in, and we're praying, you're praying, and all of a sudden, it's just this just passing moment of time where you're like, go pray for Brother Chamberlain. What? But I'm praying. Oh, okay, I bring every thought under captivity of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. You couldn't possibly want me to go pray for that guy. This is how we wrestle with things. Instead of in faith in that moment, getting up from my seat and walking right back in the name of Jesus. And I begin to let the Holy Ghost flow through me. Why don't you lift your hands right now? Let the Spirit of God minister to you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You see, we make this too hard. We try to complicate it. We try to over-spiritualize it sometimes, if I can use that term. Oh, I'm just waiting on the Lord. No, stay engaged in prayer. And if he tells you to do something, then do it. If he tells you to act on something, then do it. Why don't you just stand right now? I want you to lift your hands towards heaven. I want you to yield yourself a vessel to the Holy Ghost. In your own words, do that right now. Yield yourself a vessel to the Holy Ghost. Father, I'm available to you right now. I'm just waiting upon you. I'm waiting upon you right now in the name of Jesus. Thank In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we wait upon you, members of your body, Father. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You can be seated for a moment. See, if I'm this type of ministry requires me to have a liberty to pray in the Holy Ghost and to be at liberty to pray in the Spirit. Do you understand that statement? Because if I'm relying solely on my understanding, if I'm praying only with my understanding, if my only liberty is to pray in my understanding, then when I come, and this is what holds us back from stepping out and laying hands on somebody. Well, you know, I've got to, Lord Jesus, I pray, Father, that you would touch Brother Reuter today. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus you'd help him on his job. I pray that you would help him, you know, with his family. I pray you'd bless his finances, Lord. And I'm being serious. I'm trying to come up with things. In the name of Jesus, 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 in Jesus' name. I don't have to know what he's going through. I don't have to know what he's up against. The Holy Ghost knows. I just got to be a vessel that his Spirit can flow through. That's it. You see the difference? Oh, what's even better is, Father, Lord, I know Brother Chamberlain's looking for a new job, and I know that he needs, that's praying from my understanding. It's praying from what I know. God knows about your job situation. He is so aware. Did we pray about your job situation a couple minutes ago? I don't know. The Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost knows the intricacies of our life. He knows every piece of everything that we're going through and everything that we're dealing with. Oh, I've got knowledge of a couple things. I mean, really, if we wanted to have a prayer line today, you know, I could go down and I could say a couple things. You know, the Lord God, I pray that you'd bless them and help them through this thing that they're dealing with and help them. That's from my understanding. Do you get that? That's from my understanding. And I don't know everything. No, most of you don't share a whole lot of anything about your lives with me, but I know a little bit because some of you have social media and I hear through the grapevine the things you post on social media. So I could pray the Instagram prayers and the Facebook prayers. Can allow the Holy Ghost to use me. See, we talk about being used of God, and we talk about the Lord ministering through us to individuals. This is what we're talking about. Now, the Lord may, in fact, give me a word of knowledge while I'm praying for my brother. And then I may not speak it out. I may just let it filter through my spirit for a few moments while I'm praying for him. All right. No, I'm feeling faith about that word. And so I begin to pray those things that the Holy Ghost is speaking to me about him in English. I may speak them out. And you know what I've witnessed? It doesn't happen all the time. It happens every now and then. Well, you had a word for Brother Reuter. No, I didn't have a word for Brother Reuter. I simply allowed the Holy Ghost to speak through me to my brother. That was it. And you know what? You know, in the moments of time that I've experienced that, there's a witness between us. When I've got my hand on somebody, I begin to feel what they're feeling. When I begin to pray for Brother Reuter just a couple of minutes ago, I begin to feel what he was feeling. I begin to feel the Holy Ghost. I begin to feel what you were feeling, and you begin to feel what all of us were feeling. And when I begin to speak the things that the Holy Ghost is telling me to speak in that moment, or pray the things the Holy Ghost is asking me to pray in that moment, there, if I'm in the Holy Ghost, and this is how you know, there's a witness. There's a witness. Oh, man. I'm about to get in trouble. If you've ever prayed for me and I was deep in the spirit and you came and laid hands on me, you started speaking things over me and all of a sudden you felt me go. I don't say anybody in the room's ever done that. There have been moments where people, nobody in this room, I'm being serious about that. People have come and prayed things and started speaking things over me. And I told my wife afterwards, I had to shut my spirit off because I did not want that in my spirit. What am I saying? There was no witness with what was being said in my spirit. I'm in the Holy Ghost. I'm praying. When I say I'm in the Holy Ghost, I'm just praying in the spirit. I got my eyes closed, my hands lifted. I'm just praying in the spirit. I'm just waiting upon the Lord. And all of a sudden, somebody comes up to me and they say they got a word. I'll tell you, there was a moment in time where I ripped my hand out of an individual's hand who began to say things to me. And I walked away. You say, how rude of you. No, I did not want anything that they were speaking in my spirit. You say, you could tell? Yes. We all should be able to tell. It's called discernment. I think it's spelled D-I-S-C-E-R-N-M-M-E-N-T. Discernment, waiting on the Lord. And when somebody comes alongside me and takes me by the hand and they begin to pray over me, there ought to be an immediate witness in my spirit. I want you to pray again right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Father, we desire to learn of you. We desire to learn of you today. We desire to be led of you. We desire to be vessels that you flow through. We desire to be vessels that you use today in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. See, this is why. When we say things like, ministry is not exclusive to the pulpit. Now that flies in the face of common Pentecostal ideology. Ministry is more than just holding the mic in your hand. That flies in the face of Pentecostal ideology. And I'm telling you, the church isn't there yet. But when all of us, there's a lot of us that get this, but when all of us, and I'm talking about the kingdom of God, when all of us get this and it becomes a part of who we are and it becomes a part of our apostolic DNA, that we don't, it doesn't matter to us who we are, who we're not, who our dad was, who our dad wasn't, or what we think we are or think we are not in the kingdom of God. But when we come into the gathering of the body of believers and we just simply begin to wait on him, and we begin to wait on him together. Why, Brother Berger, have you ever thought about this? Why Paul had to address all the things he had to address in the epistles to the churches, you know, all that stuff being out of order. And they started with what we're talking about today, and then things kind of got a little bit out of control. They didn't have a lot of spiritual oversight because Paul was traveling, and they were appointing elders in every city, and so Paul had to come back and say, hey, when you get up and speak, You need to speak in English. Now, if you want to pray in the Holy Ghost, that's fine, but you can't get up and just pray in tongues or speak in tongues all the time to the church. Everybody's sitting there staring at you like, I guess it's Greek. You had to address some things. But when they came together, they came waiting. You had to end up saying things, let everything be done decently and in order. Because there are people saying things and popping off in different places. Now, it didn't start in a bad place. It was his correction. Okay? I use this term sometimes in a fleshly standpoint. I'd rather have to rein somebody in and put the spurs to them. If you ever rode a horse, you'll know what I'm talking about. Sometimes I feel like the Holy Ghost is having to put the spurs to us all the time. Hey, I want to use you. Hey, will you listen to me while you're praying? I'm trying to talk to you. Will you listen to me while I'm praying? I'm trying to send you to minister to somebody. Will you listen to me while you're praying? I'm wanting to talk to you about things in my word that you've been reading and not understanding, but you're too busy telling me about all your problems. Listen, 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 listen. Brother Paul was having to do was rein some things in. The horses are out of control. They're running wild. We got to rein something in. Slow down a little bit. About to lose a saddle. I'd rather be in a situation where we got to say, all right, you know, we need to rein some things in. To be a part of a body of believers or to see the body of Christ in the earth. Be in a place of, well, you know, I'm too afraid to step out. Let me give you a word of encouragement here today. There's enough spiritual oversight in Life Church that if you're wrong, someone will gently and kindly get you back in line. You understand what I just said there? Nobody's going to say, hey, sit down, be quiet, you did that wrong. No, no, no. Hey, you know, talk to me about what you were feeling right there. Don't be afraid to step out in faith. And if you're feeling something and you're not sure, come find me. Go find Brother Heiner. Find the bishop. Put your arm around him and say, I'm feeling something right now. I'm supposed to go do something. Well, do you feel it? Yeah, I feel that. I feel a witness about that. I'm not sure. Go pray about that a little bit longer. Trust your spiritual oversight. We operate in spiritual authority in Life Church. Don't be afraid to step out and let the Lord use you. Let's pray again right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. There are individuals in the room today that while I've been instructing, and while Brother Brandon was ministering, that you know that there have been moments that the Lord has spoken to you, that he's instructed you. Maybe he's revealed something to you in Scripture and you blew it off. Oh, that's just me. Or he prompted you to go and to lay hands upon a brother or sister and pray for them. I remember a couple of specific times in my life, early on in ministry, when I was still in Oregon, and I was learning to wait on the Lord. I was learning, and I was hungry for God. I was seeking after the things of God, and there were multiple times where I would be in a service, in a meeting. I'd be the one that was speaking or ministering, and the Lord would prompt me to do something. I would feel very strongly like I was supposed to go do something, and I was in so much fear of failure. I was in so much fear of looking like a fool or being wrong or being my flesh that I would just ignore it. Being real here. I'd just ignore it, just move on from it. And within moments, somebody would come up behind me, take the mic from me, and say, "The Lord just spoke to me," and would repeat the exact same things the Lord had been prompting me to say for 4 or 5 minutes, and I was just too chicken, too fearful, didn't have a confidence in my relationship with God. It was what I wanted. It was what I was seeking for. It was what I was hungry for, but I didn't have a confidence that the Lord could actually use me in that capacity. Well, that's not my ministry. That's not who I am. That's who, if He filled you with His Spirit, that's who He intends for you to be. I lived chained by that for a lot of years. I still sometimes walk away from situations. Oh, I should have. Man, forgive me. Father, forgive me. I shouldn't. I. Yes, I know that was you. I missed it. I didn't miss it because I said something and I was wrong. No, I missed it because I didn't step out in faith and trust that what I was feeling was from God. If the body of Christ is going to be who we are supposed to be in the earth, and we're going to do what it is that the Lord wants us to do in the earth, then it's going to require all of us operating in this capacity. It's not just for a select few. It's not just for the prayer warriors. It's just not for the intercessors or the interceders. It's for whosoever will. I love what John said in the book of Revelation. He said, "Behold, I," this was a writing to the church, "behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if 5 or 10 will hear my voice, maybe 15 or 20, in a big church, maybe 30 or 40. A whole missions church, I can get by with 1 or 2. No. He said, if any man will hear my voice. Any man. That's any woman too. It's not gender specific. If you'll just hear my voice and we'll open the door, it'll open up a dialogue. A communication between me and them." Let's stand together. In the name of Jesus, Father, teach us to hear your voice. Teach us to hear your voice, Father. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, there's a deep hunger inside of me, Father, a deep hunger inside of me to hear your voice. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Ila la la basata robo koto roba haye. Ila nea la robo soto roba kiataye. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Itaya la la basoto roba kiataye. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. This altar is open. If you feel the drawing of the Spirit of God, if there's a hunger inside of you for more of Him and to be in communication with Him, if you want Him, if you want His voice to be crystal clear, this altar is open. Talk to Him about that. Father, I want to hear Your voice. I desire to be in communication with You. I hear other people talk about the Lord speaking to them, and I wonder what's wrong with me. But God, today, before I leave this place, I want to know Your voice. I want to begin a journey of hearing Your voice and knowing when it is that You're talking to me, and having a confidence to step out in faith. Trust Your voice. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Not my will, Jesus. Not my will, Jesus. Thank you.
We're ready.
Bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. If there's some who choose to pray, please be respectful of that.